In 2023, reality TV star Ino Matijani began his transition to become a woman. Now, in 2025, his pronouns are back to he and him. He talks about his journey ahead of his return to the Way Nginga Corner on Moja Love. Tune in.
Yes, Umzanzi Celebville is filled with flavor.
But you know that ge o batla go tseba gore fame e re mo ngwaneng, or who secured the latest bag,
or just who's dripping with sauce,
and who's adding the spice.
Jonga yongi into nje.
Because if it's hot, then it's definitely in the Chisa pod.
Chisa!
So you're making a comeback on television after some time. I don't know if it's just me, but I felt like you went on a hiatus for quite some time, not just on TV, but also on social media for some time. You were not that present. Like, how does it feel to make a comeback? Also, tell me what made you want to go off the radar for quite some time.
All right. So I'm going to be very honest with you. What made me want to go off the radar, I was dealing with a lot in my life. And I felt like I needed to kind of go regroup for myself and not to give too much of myself to social media.
Mm.
Just take a bit of time to detox, find who I really am outside the industry, outside cameras, and just get to a point where I felt fulfilled, because I felt like I was starting to deplete as an individual. You know, I felt like I started to question my character. I felt like I wasn't the same person anymore. And I felt like a lot of things that I was doing, I wasn't clear in what exactly I wanted to achieve from them. So I really needed to just go detox and really find myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I went hiatus. And also, I just am valuing privacy so much in my life right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing that I've taken for granted for a lot of times. I felt like everyone or the public needs to know every detail of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten to understand that it's really not necessary for people to know everything about me. They could just know what I give on the reality show. I still preserve some privacy for myself, for my sanity, for my family, my loved ones, for my spirituality, just even for my mental health, to be able to balance and be a human being who still have their own privacy and do things that they enjoy without feeling like they always have to give to the world every single time. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, how does it feel to now come back into the limelight, though?
It's intense. Because now I came back, it came in a very controversial way.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, when I had started posting again on social media, was when I shared a story about my sexuality and gender in contrast with my spirituality. From an innocent place where I felt like it was a revelation that would have put things in perspective for me to sort of, you know, maybe gather that maybe there are people who can relate to my story and feel exactly the same way. Because when I had put in that thing out, was out of confusion. I was hoping someone would be like, I feel the same, which I did get thousands, well, not thousands, but hundreds of people who were like, hey, I feel the same. So then I started feeling like, okay, maybe I shouldn't have posted. I should have just stayed in my corner because this just went crazy. There were a lot of people who were happy to understand the journey where I was at, but I felt like a lot of LGBT people had felt very disappointed and taken back by my story.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me feel very uncomfortable as a human being because I wouldn't want to hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't want to hurt people, but I need to tell my truth because I feel like everyone's voice is important, whether or not they agree with you. So it was very tricky at first. It literally almost put me back into a depressing mode.
Mm-hmm.
But then I prayed on it, did the things that I've, you know, created in order for me to be okay when I'm not feeling okay. Perhaps praying or running or gymming or whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just continue to slowly get back to social media a little bit. But also I feel like it will never be too much ever again because I love where I'm at right now, the balance between giving time for social media and time for other things in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So it has been intense with that. And then slowly also just posting content, just content that I think feel like speaks to my character now, which is spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
People are appreciating that, sort of gave me a little bit of encouragement to not feel bad about the fact that there's changes in my life and to embrace it because it's the change that I've been looking for and I feel comfortable and happy and at peace. I'm still very much in the confusion phase, but what is life without confusion? I feel like confusion comes because we have to transition in life. We can't stay the same people.
No, absolutely. I think a very interesting thing also is, I mean, the last time I spoke to you, we were speaking on a different note. You know, you had just started your hormonal pills and everything else. So it's quite interesting that I'm speaking to you now when you're in a different place in your life. I would like...
So long ago, at least it was yesterday.
It was like in 2023, so it's 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So tell me just within that transition again, I think this was another transition in terms of, I mean, you did mention how the LGBTQ, you know, family were a bit taken aback by this. But for you personally, tell me about your transition going from, you know, being queer to being straight and Christian.
So where I'm at right now, well, let me just start with where I was before. I was in a phase of finding myself. Obviously, I am suffering from something that has to do with eternal. And it's something that I don't have control of, and I get to learn about myself every single time. And learning about myself hasn't been easy, because with that came spirituality. Even before transitioning, I've always just said that my transitioning is hard, even to my counselor. From the LGBT organization, because I had a cancer. I didn't just transition that people thought I was doing it for, you know, to the cute and everything. Like, I went through necessary processes to get to a point where I'm like, I'm transitioning. My genetic dysphoria was bad. My counselor literally was worried for me. There were suicidal moments, a lot of them, because initially how I had engaged with my counselor from the organization, it's called queer. Well, how I started engaging them was, I sent him a DM on Instagram and I told him, guys, if you don't help me, I'm killing myself. It was that bad. I was in Joburg. I was at home alone. I couldn't take it anymore. The pretense of feeling like I'm not living my life. But now I feel like also sometimes in life, indoctrination becomes so intense to the point where we start manifesting a lot of emotions that are not necessarily how we're feeling. So because I'm being told, you know what? You're more of a girl than we are, by my transgender friends or people telling you, you really are a girl. We start believing it.
Yeah.
And it manifests. And as it manifests, it deconstructs your emotions to feel like, you know what, let me actually look back to when I was a kid. And I remember wearing dresses. And I remember being happy as a girl. You know, just thinking that I'm a girl. And that gave me so much performance. Maybe people are right. And therefore, I dress myself to be like, maybe at one point you hated makeup and wigs because you are running away from who you truly are. Do you understand? Maybe there's a bit of eternal transphobia because you don't want to accept yourself. Do you get what I mean? So then I started going on that journey. As difficult as it was, I always disclosed that transitioning for me is difficult because I have spiritual beliefs. Do you get what I mean? I grew up in a very religious background. Church, mom is super religious. A woman that loves God. And for me, it was difficult because, not because of my family, because those values, I had instilled them and are values that I agree with. So I couldn't understand how I was going to separate my gender and sexuality from my spirituality, and that's what made it difficult. Another thing that made it difficult, even before transition, I've always said this, even during transitioning, I have an interview out in a podcast. I always say, there's things that I don't believe or agree with concerning the LGBT community. And it makes my transitioning difficult because I do want to be myself. But now it's almost like being myself comes in an agreeance with some values that I don't agree with. And it's almost like if you're transgender or gay or part of the LGBT community, you have to agree with things even when you don't. It's almost like censorship. You just have to go with the flock. You can't have your own ideas or your own opinion, because if you do, then it's like, oh, you're bigotry, or no, you're homophobic, or it's eternal homophobia. And one of those things that I didn't agree with, I didn't agree with the fact that I was starting to see a skyrocketing number of kids transitioning at a young age, and I don't believe in that. I believe kids deserve to be kids. Kids, when they're young, they want to be Superman. Kids, when they're young, they want to be a wall. Just because somebody, a kid coming to you who's at the age of 10 saying, I want to transition, doesn't mean we have to offend them. And I saw some of my LGBT community members disagreeing. And I was like, there's no way as a human being you can disagree that a kid should not go under surgery and the kid should just go be a kid. And for me, I struggled with that because I expected for the LGBT community to be against transitioning of kids. And when I started hearing even in my day-to-day life, some of my LGBT people disagreeing, it made me feel some type of way about really transitioning. I was like, okay, maybe this is not a right idea. Let me out transition. Because clearly, me transitioning means that I agree with this value, and I don't agree with that. I don't agree that biological, trans women can participate in biological sports because they have anatomical advantage.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like as a trans person, you need to accept yourself in your uniqueness. Perhaps let's create leagues for trans women only, but not participating in women's sports. Because according to UN, I think so far, 900 awards have been taken away from biological women in sports. From trans women. Because trans women, as much as they are trans women, they are born biologically as men. So they do have a larger lung capacity, they do have more strength, etc. So I didn't agree with that. And it's almost like, if we say you don't agree, you're bigoted and you're just transphobic. Do you get what I mean? I didn't agree that you can say that you are trans but have a beard. I feel like if you are trans, it's because you have gender dysphoria, and to eliminate that, it's taking necessary steps so that you can align with how you feel inside. So I struggled spiritually. I struggled with my belief system. That's why my transitioning was difficult. But even though I struggled through my counseling sessions, I started getting better because I was getting offended by my counselor.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting offended, but also I don't think I took time to myself to really understand. As much as it had already been 2 years, and apparently if you spend 2 years with gender dysphoria, it's completely bad. You need help. I felt like I'm running out of time. I must just do it. Let me not be fearful. But I still didn't address the questions that I had and resistances that I had.
Sure. You say quite a mouthful there. I think there's so much to touch on in just that line. I love that for you. Love this. You speak about the hardships of this, and I understand, like, you then took time, you know, for yourself with the counselor. But when did you stop taking the hormonal pills? When did that part come in?
So how I stopped, I was 3 months, I believe 4 months into transitioning.
Mm.
And people don't know this, that according to statistics, people become more suicidal after they transition.
Whoa.
And that is a problem with the community of the LGBTs, because things like that are not being discussed. Mm. It's almost like, let's offend you, you're good, you're a girl, that's it. Mm. Nobody's speaking about how many people are getting suicidal after they transitioned.
Mm.
Nobody's speaking about how much people literally lose themselves and they just want to detransition back.
Mm.
And for me, that was the case. Mm. My case was, I was taking hormones. I do not want to lie. I enjoyed it, you know, she and her partner. But there was always something empty. I didn't understand. I was not fulfilled to the point where I felt like I needed to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
I started feeling like my breasts were taking forever to grow.
Mm-hmm.
I started feeling like maybe considering like gender reassignment surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I was not happy with myself, man.
Mm-hmm.
I was happy going out, but when I laid my head sleeping, there was always an issue. So I let it be. I ignored that feeling. I thought, okay, maybe it's new. My friends are trans. I'm sure I'll get around. You know, it's going to be okay.
Mm.
Then time went by. I started experiencing life very, very, in a very severe way, like I've never before in my life.
Mm.
So then I took myself back to God. I was like, you know what? I just need to, not because I wanted God to fix the situations or things that I was going through in life.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like desperate for him. I was just like, I don't care for you to give me money anymore. I just need you. Clearly there's somewhere where I missed the mark, because why am I still not fulfilled even after I tried everything myself?
Mm-hmm.
So then I started reading the Bible from scratch, which I had completed reading. Then reading the Bible from scratch, and I was reading the Bible, I remember coming across a verse in Leviticus 18 about a man should not lie with another man as he does with a woman. And I called my transgender friend, I'm like, yo, do you know about this verse?
Mm.
And she's like, that's why I don't, you know, bother myself with the Bible, because it's going to confuse me. And hey, I don't bother myself.
Mm.
We dropped the call, we laughed about it, but I continued reading it.
Mm.
As I was reading it, I started getting convicted.
Mm.
There was this one time where I remember, without saying a lot because it will take forever, I was in the house alone. And just out of nowhere, I felt guilt. Like, this is not who you are supposed to be. And God is saying, if you want me so bad, this is the one thing that you are sacrificing, because it's the one thing that has consumed you as my child. Mm. The only thing that you think about, you're thinking about bread. After this, it's like there's no stopping with you. Mm. I just need you to come to me. And I remember that feeling. It was very severe, but I had ignored it, but I continued reading the Bible. Mm-hmm. This one time, a woman I stayed with says to me in a random morning, I think it's 2 weeks later, I've been having this thing. Mm-hmm. She says to me now, I dreamt about you saying no to LGBT. And then she laughs. She's like, that's ridiculous, because I mean, you, there's no way it can be you. Do you know what I mean? And I remember freezing in my mind, because maybe not no to LGBT, but I was already saying to myself, is this really what I want and what God wants for me, as I'm getting convicted? Because I feel like something is wrong. Something's not right for me personally. Mm. And then I think a week later, I went back to her. I'm like, you remember that thing that you said you talked about? I've been feeling it for the longest time, because I feel like I've been getting convicted. I remember she got shocked. Mm. She gave me grace and was like, no, what, figure yourself out. Mm. And a few days later, that's when I took a video and put it out on social media. So I feel like right now, where I'm at, God has been trying to convict me from not feeling completely comfortable and fulfilled when I took homeless and transitioning, 1 minute in jail. Like, God just has always been convicting me that you are too focused on your flesh, that you're not giving attention to me. That's why you will never be fulfilled. You will get the surgery and you will never be fulfilled. I was not happy. Like, a lot of people that are not happy when they transition, but nobody wants to speak about that. You can't speak about that. Mm. Do you get what I mean? Mm. But my unhappiness, I'm tying it to God, because with God, I find a comfort. I was like, I'm not even going to claim that I'm straight, because I didn't go to God to claim to want to be straight. I didn't say, God, please make me straight. I went because I wanted to be obedient. Mm. And even now, I'm not straight. But I know that I'm trying to live my life in a way that pleases the Lord, no matter what that means. Mm. Even if it means that I have to sacrifice some things. That's where I'm at right now.
Sure. Yeah, another mouthful. I think I wanted to know, I mean, in, with what you just said, do you think it was your obsession with the transition that made you, that gave you that conviction? Is that why maybe perhaps you feel like God did not want you to continue in that path? In the same breath, do you think perhaps, you know, for other queer people who are not necessarily obsessed with, you know, the different pills that they need to take or anything else, somebody who's just, you know, just queer, not necessarily even feminine like that, who's not necessarily obsessed with all of that, do you think they can still be queer and still be in line with God?
I think rather the obsession that got me to that point where God was like, okay, my child, you need to come to me. Mm-hmm. It was starting to become a cry of help, where I was starting to lose myself. Mm-hmm. Because what I thought will help me was only getting me worse. Mm-hmm. And for me, in terms of like considering other LGBTQ plus community, I always say that people just need to find their own journey with God. And no one has the right to manage one's journey, because maybe it's not in contrast with their journey. Mm. You can't say, I'm messing up your swag. So now, if we are being inclusive, are we really being inclusive if all stories are not being told? Mm. If I am saying that as a Christian, I do not, the Bible says and claims that homosexuality is wrong. Mm. And I'm going to abide by that. You cannot have a problem with me. That's not being inclusive, because we are not all practicing our rights equally. Do you get what I mean? Mm. Every story needs to be told of a human being. At the end of the day, we're not going to have the same stories. Mm. And my story is not indigenous, because after having have posted my video, so many stories of the LGBTQ plus members, even one that are popular on TikTok, people started reaching out to me and saying, yo, even me, I feel the same. Mm. So clearly, This isn't an issue of, you know, trying to get attention again, or perhaps it's a new season of the reading a corner, which is crazy, because I had to call my producer and tell her that I'm not doing the show anymore. Mm. But we'll get to that. But what I'm saying is, everyone's story is important to be told. If you're confident in your own story, somebody else telling their story shouldn't affect you. If you're saying who you are is right and you're confident and you're happy, it shouldn't bother you what Eno says or the decisions that Eno take. Do you get what I mean?
You did mention that, within your journey, you found that, God does not necessarily like homophobia or the homophobic. Sorry. And you previously identified as with your pronouns being she and her. And now you're saying you're not necessarily saying that you're straight. So what exactly do you identify as?
As a child of God. I identify as a child of God because these labels that are projected on people are the same labels that are not helping fix people but break them even more. Because when you are gay, you're expected to act a certain way, speak a certain way, do things a certain way. Can't be your own individual. You don't hear people saying, "Hi, Tato. Oh, you're straight. Nice to meet you." Do you get what I mean? Heterosexuality is never made a personality. But with the LGBT community, and I get it, because this is like a historical reference where LGBT people were marginalized. Therefore, a voice had to be set in tone for people to understand that LGBTQ plus members are human beings. But I feel like it got to a point where now there was an abuse of rights and comfortability of rights where people thought, "Oh, you know what, I can get away with things because I'm just gay and lesbian." And that is not right.
So when I write this article, right, for instance, the previous one that I wrote them with, she said, her journey. So with this one, I can't say said the child of God. Am I going to say he? Yeah.
No, definitely my pronouns are he, him.
Okay.
And I always say to my friends or close people that I still suffer from gender dysphoria, Joy. But that's the beauty about obedience, is that I'm not in control of trying to architecture my life anymore. I'm living it all to God, and it's just so easier like this. Do you know what I mean? I'm going back to my roots of creation, and it sounds so easier because I'm not thinking of becoming a medical patient for the rest of my life. For me personally, you understand, I still want to have kids. Do you know what I mean? Which are the things that a lot of people also some transition without knowing. Your get of hormones, you cannot produce semen anymore. Your testosterone cannot produce semen anymore. You are literally revoked of a beautiful blessing of having kids. I have a transgender, well, former friend, Tula, who really wants a baby, but she can't do anything anymore about that. And I see how upset she is, and I feel so terrible for her. And as someone who's also rooted in, like, family systems and wanting to have, like, a traditional family, that's one thing that would also have broken me. So maybe God called me at the right time where he was like, "I know what I desire for you." And the things that you are chasing are not going to give you fulfillment. I want kids. I want to have a family. Do you get what I mean? I want to have a kid and go to, like, a son name and go to his rugby matches, and a daughter and go to his netball matches or whatever. And I was never going to get that because of, being a medical patient and relying on hormones. And nobody's speaking about the dangers of the hormones. I've tried three times now through artificial insemination to have a baby. But I failed, and I started suspecting that it's because of the hormones. But we can't speak about things like that, because the moment we speak about things like that, LGBT people personalize it. And I feel like it's unfair that livelihoods of people are getting affected. Both two stories need to come out. Yes, maybe transitioning is amazing, but also let's talk about the illnesses of transition. It's not as glamorous as people make it out to be. I'm just comfortable being here at him. I'm just comfortable, being a normal human being without always having to stress about how do I hide my genital area, or what do I have to inject, or obsessing over boobs and transition. I'm just happy like that. And I see that there's a skyrocketing increase in numbers of a lot of people that are crying for help who have transitioned. I was watching a video of an old man 30 years into his transition. He was like, "No ways, I can't." So many stories of people are coming up now. Why? Because the LGBT people censored people. When they said, "Let's have a conversation and see if this is really helping people instead of breaking them." Do you get what I mean? That's why we're having these stories. And if you continue censoring people, the LGBT censoring people, it's not going to do any good, but it's going to do more harm. People are, because most people are gays. This is me literally just, guessing. A big guess. Most people sometimes are not transphobic or homophobic because it's just homophobic. You don't want to have a conversation so that they understand where you are coming from. Mm-hmm. Every single thing is an attack to you. Do you get what I mean? Mm-hmm. But you are not forcing people to refer to you as they and them, changing languages so that you can be okay. And that's not okay, because why do people not have to change their ways of living and languages for you, but you're not even wanting to engage them in the conversation? That's where you start claiming that they're transphobic.
Mm. So you are now he and him. So are you telling me that you are now attracted to men again? Do you know how has this affected your romantic and sexual life?
Well, in terms of honest, I'm still saying, and I'm only saying it for the lifestyle, which is because I feel like the more I say it, it's almost like I'm saying it because I don't want people to be angry with me and just get comfortable with the fact that I'm still attracted to the same sex. Like, I shouldn't even feel like I need to defend myself, because I don't want to lie to you, Joy. Because a lot of time, every time everyone asks me about my gender, I'm always like, yeah, but I'm still attracted to guys. The fact that I feel like I always have to mention that, it's a problem. Because it's almost like I'm fearful about people's reaction to my story, and it shouldn't be like that. But in terms of like my romantic life, I'm just happy in singlehood. Honestly, I'm not thinking about anything else. I'm just enjoying being by myself, and it just feels so amazing, at least for now. Mm-hmm. But yes, I am still attracted to the same sex. I have been engaged in an adult activity with a gent in like 9 months now, going in strong.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even something that I'm calculating for myself or wanting to do so bad. It's just coming so naturally.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, I'm not thinking about trying to control things anymore right now.
Mm.
But I'm happier where I'm at.
Yeah.
Of course, I am talking to an ex of mine, still thinks he has a chance. Like, I don't know. But I know that I'm living in obedience, and I just love you.
Okay.
I'm not trying to think too much about everything or trying to be in relationships or proof points, date girls, and that. That would be not being transparent with myself. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
And so are you... Okay, so I guess I could safely say you're celibate, or do you not want to put a label on that either?
I am. I've been for 9 months. I haven't had interest in people talking. There is a particular individual, but it's also not a serious thing. You know, I'm just not in that space anymore. I think I just want to like pour more into my spirituality, into myself, into my growth as a human being, and really just figure myself out.
Mm-hmm.
I just love where I'm at right now. I'm not even thinking about engaging into like sexual activity. I'm not feeling like I'm depleted or missing out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing where I'm at right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And then you spoke about artificial insemination, which is... Okay, so you tried to basically make a baby. I'm trying to figure out when and with who.
I tried last year, I think, from January, I think, June, somewhere there, with this one beautiful lady who was ready to have a child, same age. And I actually did it whilst I was still trans, because I was just so scared that I'm going to lose production of my semen. So I have to do it ASAP. Besides the fact that I really want a baby so bad, you know, and I've been for years. But we did it 3 times, and it wasn't really successful. So is a problem with her? Is it the hormones I was taking? I still am yet to go see the doctor about how much the hormones have, you know, affected me.
You said she's the same age as you. How old are you again?
27.
You're 27 this year?
Yeah.
Okay. And when you say you were dating during that time, what's your relationship with this specific lady in question?
We're still talking, so we still want to try more.
Yeah. Oh, so she's just going to be a surrogate, I assume?
Yes.
Okay, so there's no...
Sorry, what our relationship with agreement is that we're going to co-parent. Well, at the time when I was still trans, that was the agreement. But now also, I'm starting to have a bit of challenges. As much as I don't want to force myself to... Now I had a nuclear family and everything. I'm not just in obedience with my gender and sexuality, with anything in my life. That's why I'm like, people, and I get why my sexuality would make me, is because one, I put it out there. And two, it's like people have always regarded me like one of the pioneers of the LGBT community in the media industry in South Africa. But that leaves me the little piece of my life. It concerns every single thing of my life, including is it a good idea to have a baby, like, outside of marriage and through processes like that? So I'm battling with things like that because everything, there's a shift with every area of my life.
And I guess with this, you know, this transition that you've been in this different phase of your life, did that affect, I mean, you mentioned that, you know, contacting, or you wanted to decline the offer, you wanted to contact the producer and cancel the show. Tell me about that. And did this transition have anything to do with that? Why you didn't want to do reality TV anymore?
Look, so when I started going through my revelation journey, during our corner, I had a few months reached out for a new season.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, if you're a reality TV star, producers need to know, head of the channel, management needs to know, what do you have this new season that you can offer for us?
Mm-hmm.
And when people think maybe my story is because I wanted to get attention, my story was supposed to be different this season from how people are going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
When Dwayne, I kind of reached out before my revelation, I was a trans woman who was talking to a Zulu guy who wanted to marry him, who was about to introduce me to his parents in Ladysmith, who was about to make me a second wife to his first wife. He introduced me to his wife without his wife knowing.
Jeez.
I was someone who was already going into ideas of like content creation online and sexual activities, OnlyFans and things like that.
Yeah.
So according to me, one would have said that this is for flat. I would think that that story is more mine than this story. Do you get what I mean? Because of everything that was happening in my life at that time, I had to completely be obedient because I needed the Wayne LaConnor's money. At that time, I was going through a lot. But then I was like, you know, if you are saying you trust in God, you need to fully trust in God. You can't say, this is what I'm going through, this is what God wants for me, but then still do other things for the sake of money.
Mm.
Yes, you are broke, but live in your obedience and just let God be. And it was just a feeling that said, okay, maybe I can't do this show anymore because maybe my value system has shifted. Not entirely. I'm not saying now it's an evil or bad thing. It's just two worlds. Those with the LGBT and the religion, they seem to be struggling to, you know, conglomerate. Mm. And right now, I just feel like in my obedience, I just need to let go of the show too. But then I was about to get married, mind you. That's the reason why also the channel was like, okay, let's go for season 5. This is interesting.
Like, this was a real wedding, not just for the show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, well, there were conversations between the guy that I was with at the time about the marriage, because he was serious. He was also now starting to willing to be on the show for me and introduce me to his parents on the show.
Hmm.
So it was going to be like an intense thing and a whole 360 switch. Do you know what I mean? Because one, I am a traditional person. So to even be in a polygamous marriage is wild. I am a religious person. So for me to even have an online content creation of OnlyFans, it's even more wild. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
But then after that revelation, then I called my producer. I remember very well I was in Lesotho. I was pacing around with my car outside under a very huge tree. And I said to her, I can't fulfill my commitment to this show this season. She's like, why? And I'm like, well, haven't you seen the video I put out? I didn't expect it would go this crazy, but it's going crazy, and this is my story. And she's like, okay, that's a whole switch, because we were talking last week and, you know, for like a few months. So she was shocked. Mm-hmm. She didn't know. But then I remember her saying to me, well, you know, look, your story is just as important, because I can imagine how many people saw like you.
Mm-hmm.
You need to come speak for those people. You can't now say, no, I'm not doing the show anymore. Can't speak for those people. Because mm-hmm. I'm sure there's people that feel like you. And I'm like, yeah, they are actually, because I am getting inboxes of people who are saying, I'm also going through the same thing. What's up?
Mm-hmm.
Then I remember, I think I did take some time to get back to her, but I think it was still the same girl the next day. Then I was like, you know what? You're right. I will tell my story. No one is going to censor me, because I know I'm not the only one. And I know what hell I've been through just with my agenda and my sexuality. And I'm not going to allow the LGBTQ class members who have been privileged enough not to suffer internally like me, calling me confused and I don't know what I want. It's okay. Maybe I am confused. Everyone who's in the LGBT community is confused like me. So for the LGBTQ class member to use that as an insult is not doing any good for them. Mm-hmm. Because you are trans because you're confused. So whether I'm transitioning or detransitioning doesn't matter. You're on the same journey. Then I was like, I know there's someone who's suffering like me. Let me just come back on the show. And that's how I came back.
Sure. And so with that, I mean, okay, I'm going to back it up a little bit to the marriage aspect of things. You were about to get married. Jiggy, you post a video. How did this man, you know, react to this? Did you speak to him prior to you posting the video? Because he's married to a woman and he was willing to, you know, bring you into that family.
So, to be honest, I did something that, I think I can't recall it. It was just a very overwhelming time of my life. Sometimes I'm going to try to remember everything, but I think I remember it's just ghosting him. But he recently texted me, I think 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And I was going to send him a text. I didn't. I said I will send him a text. I didn't, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I technically ghosted him. And yeah, that was a whole thing. But also at that time, he was also too busy and too focused on other things that he didn't even pay attention until it was like, whoa, actually, where's this person?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez. And how long were you guys together before you were about to...
I'm telling you, it was just probably a month,
2 months?
Yeah, like I was going crazy. He was a handsome guy who seems to be doing well. Selling me jeans. I won't say selling me jeans, but he said what he needed to say.
Yeah.
And it was going to be one of those marriages where we're like, you know what, you know. And clearly I don't know because I'm not even thinking about it now.
Yeah. And how old was he? How long was he married for?
I can't remember how long he was married for. I don't think we discussed that. I think there was a point in just discussing his marriages, mm-hmm. his marriage out of like respect.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it was around 30, 31, but yeah. Doing well for himself.
Yeah.
And that's been it for our discussion with Innocent Matijane. For more, head over to iona.fm, Spotify, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts. Remember that you can follow us on all social media platforms at Chisalive. I've been your host, Joy Mpande. Until next time, it's goodbye for now.